Brandon. Brandon, thanks for coming here, man.
Yeah, thanks for having me. It's my first time being a guest on someone else's, so look forward to
it. Oh, do you have a podcast as well?
No, you know what? I make a lot of video content, I think a lot of people assume that I do just based on the clips that I share on social media.
Yeah.
But no, it's just kind of just doing my own thing.
Yeah, man. That's how you got my attention, actually.
Honestly.
I've been following you for years because your content will show up.
Okay, I see.
Your real estate content. It's really funny
because that's how I saw you, because I think I followed you too. And it was your tours.
Got it.
That how I found you. Yeah.
Yeah, I signature. Awesome.
Exactly. I love that, by the way.
Thanks, brother. No, and that's what it's all about. It's just continue to put out content. It's not going to be always perfect or what you want, but just continue doing it. Be consistent.
Yeah.
And, you know, if you're not putting out marketing or content in this kind of generation, this kind of time, you're invincible.
I totally get it. Yeah.
So you want to share more about your background, like how did you get into real estate? What were you doing before? How did you transition to it?
Yeah, absolutely. So I got into real estate in a very weird way, I would say. Mm-hmm. I was really young. I was in school.
A good 3 inches away is perfect.
Yeah, okay, sorry. Yeah, no worries. And I was kind of just kind of stuck, you know, didn't really know what I wanted to do. And I remember taking my mom out for lunch, and I was like, you know what, a lot of my people around me, you know, friends and, you know, things like that are kind of falling into different career paths, and like I don't feel like I found my groove. Like what I was doing at the time wasn't necessarily my thing. I didn't feel very fulfilled. And my mom turned to me and she said, you know what? I've always wanted to try real estate for herself. And I didn't. And I think you'd be really good at it. And this was something that I hadn't really given much thought to. So I looked into it, signed up immediately. I said, you know what? Why not give it a shot, right? So while I was working, I was used to work in insurance. Mm. And while I was doing that, concurrently, I was doing my courses. And I remember explicitly the day that I got licensed, I went to work and I handed in my notice. And I knew nothing about real estate. And as you know, those courses don't prepare you for real life real estate.
Yeah.
It's kind of just textbook stuff. And I remember handing it in and just being like, you know what? I'm very sorry. Like, this is not for me, whatever it may be. And my manager actually brought me into an office that was probably the size of this. Mm. And she says to me, thank you for the note. I'll be right back. And I'm like, okay.
Okay.
So she leaves. She comes back and she says, I talked to the senior manager and whatever the competitor is giving you, will match it. And I said, no, I'm sorry. I don't think you understand. You know, I'm doing a different career path. I'm going to get into real estate. And at that moment, she had told me, you know, a lot of people were telling me, you know, real estate is very saturated. There's a lot of us. Mm-hmm. It's a tough business. Are you sure you want to leave, you know, security, benefits, you know, these things? And I said, you know what? There's no time like the present. And I, ever since that day, I've been doing it ever since. I've never looked back. It's been about 8 years now that I've been in the business, and I love it. So that's a bit amazing, of a weird story. Yeah.
No, that's very similar to my story, actually.
Yeah. Okay, cool.
I would never think that I'll become a real estate agent, actually. Ever since I was a kid, all the way growing up, I knew that I'll have my own business because I had that business mindset and know that I'm never going to work 9 to 5.
Right.
I grew up in a family of entrepreneurs.
Okay. I see.
Right.
What kind of entrepreneurs?
Well, my sister is actually a tech CEO. Yeah. So,
wow.
She's super. Yeah. My older sister.
Yeah.
William is also very entrepreneurial, right? Same as my second sister, which is in e-commerce.
Okay.
And my mom and dad used to own restaurants.
Okay. And so you got pretty diverse look at this. Yeah.
Exactly. So it's like, for sure, I'm not going to be working for someone else.
I never
thought that I'll enter real estate until, just like you, kind of like your mom gave you the suggestion or push you.
Right.
My sister in Hong Kong, I remember that time I was first time in Hong Kong, and it was so inspirational because it was like skyline, tall towers everywhere. Mm-hmm. And I don't really know, but Hong Kong has the most expensive real estate in the world.
Didn't know that.
They're like average $2,000 to $3,000 per square foot easily.
Oh my gosh.
USD, right?
Yeah, so it's
just like, it's very inspirational when I saw like the way that agents there were hustling.
Right, and they were
making like commission checks.
Is that where you kind of saw it and then were like, hey, I could get into this? I could see myself doing this?
My first exposure to real estate sales. And then my sister actually was the one that said that, why don't you venture into real estate? And I'm like, that gave me the idea. And then literally when I came back, I was still in university, I just signed up for my license.
Right.
So, yeah.
So someone else kind of put it in your brain like, hey, that could be you.
Right.
Yeah.
I don't think anybody when they're growing up is like aspire to be a real estate agent.
You know what? Maybe now, I think when I got in, at least I felt as though it wasn't a very common thing yet. Right. It was on the brink of kind of getting more popular.
Yeah.
But now I feel like a lot of people, everyone wants to talk about real estate to some capacity, right?
Yeah.
But I agree with you. When I was younger, no one really said, hey, I aspire to be, you know, a real estate broker, right? It wasn't very common, I would say.
I think it wasn't like really a cool job.
Yeah.
I think like the old school way of doing real estate typically is like it suits or like, you know, you're watching those movies, right? The old school, almost kind of Wolf of Wall Street sales.
Yeah, yeah.
And it's also like one of the public image of what it give real estate agents, right? But I find that it's so not true once you enter real estate. That's actually a very, very satisfying job if you choose to make it satisfying. Yeah.
Right. You got to treat it like a business.
You have to treat it like a business.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's a really good. Okay. Let's pivot to that.
Sure.
Because a lot of agents go into this thinking that it's a sales job. So where do you, like, I don't know you, but for my first few years, I thought it was sales. Even though I had a business entrepreneurial mindset, I didn't know to really treat it like a business until later on. Did you have the similar mindset?
I had the exact same situation happen to me. And interestingly enough, I actually made a video about exactly that.
Right.
Where I, like you, I thought getting into this is a sales-driven sales environment, sales. And as soon as I got into the business, I realized it's the opposite. It's a relationship-based business.
Mm-hmm.
And that's all there is to it. There's nothing else to it, right?
Right.
I think one of the things that I learned very quickly for myself was I started in real estate at what I think was a pretty young age. And I didn't look very old. I didn't look very mature. So trying to right? So you might know that struggle too. And it's like trying to get business and, you know, get a listing or help someone buy, you know, the most expensive asset. And they look at you and they say, well, where's your track record, right? And if you don't have one, you don't have that experience, you have to have something to stand on. So I made it my mission to know everything that I possibly can. I was a sponge. All the data, all the information, inventory, what's selling, what's not selling. I made myself just know everything, like study it really, really, really hard. And as I did that, people would start to know like, okay, he knows his stuff. I feel confident in doing business with him. And then after a while of being in the business, I quickly realized that didn't matter anymore. After I got to a certain point, they didn't care about what I knew.
Mm-hmm.
And I started to realize that a lot of other top producers in this business, respectfully, weren't that smart, right? They didn't know as much stuff, but what they did know is that people like them.
Mm-hmm.
So people work with people they know, like, and trust.
Mm-hmm.
And for me, I didn't think about that at first. I just thought about the data, the information. So I knew it all. I had all the information up to date to tell you as a seller or a buyer what you need to know. And once I figured out that it wasn't about that, it was about knowing, liking, trusting, and relationship, it kind of shifted, right?
Mm-hmm.
And that was a big moment for me to kind of like, you know, kind of switch the way you do things. Not that, you know, you don't want to have the information. You obviously do, and you need to be in the know. But to get new business and to acquire new business, I think it's just simply about being a relationship, right?
Yeah, that's an important point, especially for the audience. Anyone that's trying to venture into real estate, if you're a newer agent, even the ones that been in business for a while, but don't treat it like a relationship business.
Right.
And just try to pound deals. Like, so when that moment, can you share like, when was that? And did you have like a mentorship or you had to figure out yourself?
You know what? So when I got into real estate, I interviewed a few brokerages, as you should.
Mm-hmm. You should do that, yeah.
And a lot of people were telling me, you know, you should probably join a team, you know, and get that exposure and get your feet wet. And I said to myself, I'm open to the idea of it. However, like you said, you know, you knew you were destined to be an entrepreneur, own your own business and, you know, that kind of thing. I had that same mindset as well. So I've said to myself, I could learn on a team and then leave, but I'm going to have to start at some point alone. So I said, you know what, right now from day one, I'll just start alone and I'll figure it out.
Mm-hmm.
So truthfully, I didn't really have a mentor. Okay. I kind of just trial and error kind of figured things. Yeah, self-taught. I think, you know, I'm grateful to be in an era where a lot of technology and a lot of information is at our fingertips. You know, YouTube is helpful, books, podcasts, like what you're doing.
Now
you know,
AI.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. AI, right? Yeah. It's like even way easier.
Yeah.
But I kind of relied on those things to kind of find out what worked for me and what didn't. Mm-hmm. And I kind of just tracked it. You know what I mean? Like, hey, I was able to set these 10 appointments. This was the feedback from them. I got these listings. I didn't get these ones. They've listed with someone maybe cheaper, maybe they listed with their cousin, their brother, you know what I mean? To kind of get a feel for like, where am I falling short? you know, every year when I was starting, I would, and I still do this, track all of the business, where it came from and how it got to close, right? Mm. Like, was this a sphere of influence? Was it off of social media, and kind of knowing where you should spend your time versus others? So I think it was a combination of kind of like those things.
So when you had that realization of that, this is a people business. Yeah. It's about trust. It's about people got to like you. It's about building relationships.
Yeah.
So how did you do that? How did you scale that? Because yeah, there's going to be a moment that, you know, obviously the customer service and the relationship service is important, but it's, you know, you want to scale.
Yeah. I'm a firm believer in if you do a good job for someone, they will champion your name. They will recommend you, and they will always mention your name in a room if someone brings up real estate.
Mm-hmm.
Just like, you know, my contractors, I think they do a fantastic job. If anyone says, hey, I have a bathroom rental, whatever, I'll put their name forward, right? So I've always under the mindset of doing the best possible job you can for the clients that you do have. And maybe you start with your sphere of influence first, of course, those people know, like, and trust you. And then once I started to realize that that was the biggest way, I started to think to myself, well, how can I get people to know me more, social media. And that's when I started making videos, and they were not very good at the beginning at all. You know, you're just trying to put on the camera and, you know, kind of.
I saw the journey.
Yeah, exactly. Journey.
Just like me, if you watch my first 20 videos, signature house tour, it was absolutely cringeworthy.
But you had to do it.
But yeah, you just got to continue to tell yourself you can do it. And it's about constant improvement, right?
Yeah.
And
that's right.
The consistency, I watched your journey, it did got better.
Yeah, okay, cool. I appreciate that. Hopefully. Yeah. Like, well, the editing, you know, what you say. No one goes
to do any kind of marketing or social media right away, and it's perfect.
Yeah, fair.
Unless you have some kind of past presentation skill or an actor. Like, that's why you notice a lot of the good agents, they have some kind of acting skills before.
Okay, I didn't know that.
Yeah, like Ryan Serhan.
Okay, those ones.
A news anchor. They're very natural in front of the camera.
Right.
But for the regular Joe's, the 95% of us, they're like
timid and kind of nervous.
At the beginning, it takes time to realize and get into that rhythm.
Yeah. I don't disagree. I think that's totally right. You know, I think everyone has
Don't give up.
That's to start that journey, right?
Yeah, just don't give up.
But a lot of people, I think they get caught in this position where they just say they're going to, or they just record and then don't post it because they're just too caught up in, did I look okay? Did I pronounce this okay? Like, and I was there too, but it's just like, just put it out there. Just put it out there. And that's all you can do, right?
And there's many words of describing that, but why don't you say one word is like, don't let your ego get in the way, in a sense.
Yeah, 100%.
It's really, that's what it is 100%. At the end. It's just you're afraid what other people is going to say about that clip or think about you or like my face or whatever, the way you speak. But let it go. Let it go. Yeah. And that's actually what a podcast is about. It's like stay humble. Stay humble. Because when you stay humble, that is when the creativity comes out. Mm-hmm. And that is when you really enter your potential zone. Not your comfort zone. Stop staying in your comfort zone, guys.
Right? Yeah. Like, you know, you don't got to be anyone else, right?
Be you. That's a really good thing to talk about right now on social media.
Yeah.
Because wouldn't you say, especially personal branding?
Mm-hmm.
Because I'm sure for Brandon, since you're like a lot of leads or people that follow you, how they trust you, how you get a lot of business is probably they see your personal brand.
Right. Your branding. Yeah. No, yeah. I think that is very important. And I started to put more emphasis on that, I would say, in the last little while.
Good.
Because I think you see a bigger return on that.
Yeah.
People don't want it to be like, sure, you can be the brand, that's true. But it's like having a personal brand in business is very important, right? You know, your morals, your values, what you stand for, you know, things of that nature, right? And I think that, you know, honing in on that is very, very important. Because like you said, you know, when people get to know you, especially on social media, and that's like a big portion of my business, I'm sure it's for you as well, people go there to find where they're going to go next, whether that's real estate or anything else, right? Yeah. Hey, I saw them, you know, they started following us maybe a year ago, and then all of a sudden they send you a message, hey, I'm actually looking to buy in your area, like, can we meet? You know what I mean? It's like those you're kind of setting up those conversations by kind of getting out there, putting those videos out there, right?
It's not about marketing yourself to get every client, every buyer and seller possible.
Yeah.
It's about just putting your core values out there and putting out what you're about, your authentic brand, to attract your people, your dream clients.
Yeah.
That's what I always say at House too, and our members. It's like, in order to have a lifestyle freedom business, right? It's not just being about, you know, it's very easy to put the top producer at the pedestal. It's like, I just want to be a top producer. Right. I just want to produce a lot of deals, 100 deals.
Right.
Yeah. But is that really a lifestyle friendly business?
Probably not,
right?
Yeah, I don't think so.
So wouldn't it be much better when your brand attracts
the right people.
The right people that knows you, that relates to you.
Yeah.
Right? For example, like I have an agent that loves golfing. Mm-hmm. So by putting out social media that it's mixed golf and real estate content, that would be pretty cool.
Yeah.
Right? And then your branding.
Does that person do that?
She's starting to.
Okay,
yeah,
cool.
Cool. Because we had this whole workshop mastermind, right? Personal branding. So because if you don't, then you're going to be in a sea of sameness of agents. And we have 90,000 agents in Ontario.
Is it that high now?
That was 2 years ago. So I'm sure the last 2 years.
Yeah, call it 80 probably, maybe.
Yeah, it's called
like
80,
yeah.
70 now.
Right.
But even
still a ton.
Yeah, but 1.3 million agents around North America? It's like something crazy.
Right.
Okay, talk about whole North America.
Yeah.
So if you go on social media and how does the platform push your content, if you're going to be the same as every other agent, then it's very, you got to just build your authentic brand. And one really good way is definitely write out your core values.
Right.
And that's kind of like your mission.
Yeah,
that's kind of like your mantra.
Right,
and you
put
it out there. And then naturally, I'm not here to attract everybody.
Yeah.
I'd rather just attract the people that appreciate my service.
Right.
I appreciate what I do. And they know very clearly my value prop.
Yeah.
And you just become an obvious choice.
I think that makes sense. But I think for a lot of new agents, I think that they just try to, they just want to get a deal and get their kind of feet wet and get started.
That
right? So and myself too. Yeah. So I that was a shift for me too, where it was kind of like, you try to be everyone's everything. You know, you kind of almost like a chameleon almost. Like you kind of make yourself work with that person and kind of mold yourself to the ways in which they speak, talk, like the way they maneuver business in general. And then it comes to a point, at least for me it did, where I was like, you know what? I'm so comfortable in my knowledge, my business, and who I am that I do exactly what you said, right? I just be myself, who I am. And like you said, you're not for everyone and I'm not for everyone, right?
Yeah.
We just attract business that would work together, that does jive together, right? And I think that's important.
Yeah, it's the same thing for my podcast. I don't just bring in like vets or like top producers been in a while. Like I definitely bring newer agents. Right?
Yeah,
it doesn't matter if 2, 3, 5 years.
Yeah.
But they're crushing in the content and the marketing.
Yeah.
Because they just understand social media, and because when they look at the content, it's their authentic, like that's really how they are in person.
Yeah.
And that's really cool. And they're crushing, and they get a lot of clients like that.
Yeah.
And that's why like the podcast is not just a bringing experienced vet. I learn a lot from these young guns.
We have
some really cool conversations.
That's awesome.
And they teach me a lot too. So that's what it's all about. It's everyone's just supporting each other learning from each other. And, that's another thing about
collab.
The industry. Yeah, it's collab.
Yeah,
and exactly. It's getting better now. Because when I first started, it was all about competition.
Nobody wanted to share anything.
Nobody wanted to share. But it was so closed off.
Yeah.
It was like they have some kind of secret sauce. Like, I'm going to steal your client.
But that's the thing.
Idea.
There is no secret sauce. It's like, work hard, do the right thing, and be a good person. Mm-hmm. Like, and the money will follow, right? It's nothing more than that, in my opinion.
Well, it is a very, very tough business in the sense that in real estate that you get distracted very easily. You know what I mean? And
there's
so many things to learn, because remember we just said that in real estate, you're not a sales job.
Right.
You're a CEO of your own business. You're a Brandon Cinch Real Estate & Co., right?
Sure.
Brandon Cinch Empire, right?
Right.
Really, that's what really is, because in a sense, you wear multiple hats.
Of course,
you're a marketer, you're in sales, you're in customer service.
You got all these hats to wear, right?
You got all these hats.
Yeah.
You're in accounting, you're legal, right? So it's like, really, it's your own business. So especially for the newer ones or agents that's been doing this for 3-5 years and you realize that you hit a ceiling and to elevate your business, you really got to treat it like you're the CEO of a company.
Totally.
You wear multiple hats. The market now, let's talk about the market, Brandon.
Oh gosh,
yeah.
What's
how have you been navigating
it's been a weird one for sure. I think that I'm a firm believer that in any market, there's opportunities. It might not be for me, it might not be for you, but there's some demographic of buyer and or seller or investor that this market benefits, right? Yeah. So I think that we kind of try to pivot to those people. Obviously, not very strong seller's market. I think the people that we are helping sell right now are usually people that have a reason to make a move, job relocation, maybe they've outgrown their house and they have, an extra kid now and they're like, we don't have enough bedrooms, we got to upsize, that kind of thing. But I think mainly focusing on everything we were doing previously, the marketing, everything, nothing changes, right? Like, whether the market's hot or not, we're still providing all the same services as if it, you know what I mean? So I think
what you just said, Brandon, exactly, just do what you were doing before.
Yeah.
But in this kind of market, you need to double down.
For sure.
Or triple down.
Yeah.
Don't go chasing for the next shiny thing.
Or trying
out different things or different marketing campaigns.
Right.
It's not the market to be doing that. It's just whatever you were good at before.
Keep doing it. 100%.
But double down on that. More conversations.
Yeah.
Right. More follow up.
Yeah.
More like this one-on-one with clients.
Totally.
Relationship building. Yeah, 100%. Yeah.
But nonetheless, it is a tough market out there.
Yes.
I think that, condo market is definitely feeling it the most, in my opinion.
Depends on which pocket.
Yeah.
Like,
okay.
The pocket that, I mean, it depends what your area, like the area that myself, my business, where like I do a
Markham,
lot.
Markham.
Richmond Hill.
Okay.
Detach has fallen off the cliff.
Right.
Yeah.
Oh, interesting. Okay.
Yeah, like one pocket, Berksy.
Okay.
The detach typically goes for like 1.7, 1.8.
Sure.
And now there's a recent sold, must be like a distressed seller.
Right. So for
like less than 1.5.
Oh wow! Okay,
yeah, which is very unheard of for Berksy.
Right. Yeah. Even like a not in good shape or condition home that just shouldn't sell at that price.
Everything.
Oh,
is
really?
Good.
Okay,
fine
I see.
With it.
I see.
Yeah.
So
a lot of other pockets in Richmond Hill, I've seen that too. It's just it's been
falling
for the last 2-3 months for detach.
Yeah.
So not just condos. Condos, I think we started to see that like last year already. That's like nothing's going in downtown.
Downtown specifically.
And then early this year, it was a townhouse and semi took a big hit. Mm-hmm. But now it's detached. Like it's
coming
down. It's coming down.
Yeah. I think for us, like my business is focused in Durham.
Yeah.
And for us, I think the freehold market is doing okay. Not crazy good or anything by that means. I think that prices are kind of stagnant or slightly on a dip. But the condo market in Durham specifically is very slow.
Oh, 100%.
There's a lot of new builds, just similar to Toronto.
I saw you specialize a lot on the east side.
Yes. I did
a project at the Whitby Landing condo.
Okay, yeah, yeah.
They did like 20 deals there.
Oh, right on. Yeah, but
luckily, majority of them are closing. Obviously, there's a few that's having a tough time and speaking to the builder right now.
Mm-hmm.
But luckily, that project closed.
Yeah.
And condo prices completely dropped.
Yeah.
And when it comes to Pickering and Ajax specifically, I remembered. I had a buyer.
And
there was a bidding war a few months ago. I'm like, I'm surprised.
What was the price point around?
It was decent. Like, it was decently priced. It wasn't really, really
like
low.
Like, below a million or above?
1.1.
Okay, so that's still kind of competitive.
Yeah.
Depending on the home.
Yeah.
So Pickering Ajax, you'll still see that.
Yeah.
Yeah. I do think that, like, Durham as a whole is still fairly undervalued as far as when you look at comparing cities in proximity to Toronto.
Oh, yeah.
Like, if you go from Toronto and you go north or you go west and then you go east and you compare those prices, we're still pretty low. And I think that we've seen over the last couple of years, we've seen a lot of people moving from other markets to Durham specifically for that affordability reason. Obviously, there's still Go Train, you know, that kind of thing, and the 401 to, you know, commute to work. Recently, they made the 407 from Brock Road and Pickering out east free, which kind of gave us a little bit of break on some traffic. I don't know if you know, the traffic on our end of the city is pretty bad.
Mm.
I think there's a lot of reasons why I think people are kind of looking there. But overall, I would say that the market has definitely shifted to more of a balance and or buyer's market in certain price points.
Yeah, which is not bad, actually.
No, not at all.
Yeah, because like, you just got to know when the market shifts who to work with, right?
Mm-hmm.
And when
That's
it comes
right.
to sellers, more manage expectations, obviously.
Totally.
And with the buyers, it's kind of like 3 years ago where it's totally a seller's market.
Oh.
And buyers, in order to win a house, have to be like super creative and super, super like aggressive, right?
Right.
When it comes to how fast you put an offer in.
That's
how,
right, yeah.
How well you collab
yeah, of course.
With the
exactly.
listing agent,
yeah,
of course. Now it's the other way around. Mm-hmm. Right, it's like if you're on the seller side, you have to be really, really collaborating and cooperating with the buyer.
I've seen some people
and
getting
you have to really push,
you
really
very dig. Creative, like you,
have
you
to be
said,
creative. Yeah.
Very creative. Yeah. Like we've seen some, like, you know, Pottle Fee, like let's say townhomes where they're advertising, you know, a fairly attractive price, but also being like, you know, 1 year's worth of fees paid up front for you on closing or something like that, or like just something more to incentivize to someone to buy yours versus the other three or four they have to choose from in that specific area, right?
Yeah.
So yeah, I think creative is definitely
just
important.
It's completely flipped around. Like 3 years ago, we're asking the seller not to be greedy, right?
Yeah.
With the offers coming in, they're like, no.
Yeah.
Seller is king. Now flipped around, buyer is king. Like,
yep.
You don't be like, it's hard to convince them like, hey, don't lowball too much, right?
Yeah.
Because
yeah.
they're king. They have so much
yeah.
options now.
Yeah.
And on the seller side, you have to be, man, if you have a listing, you got to be really, really aggressive for every appointment that comes in.
Mm-hmm.
You know, really try to cooperate and collab with that yeah. cooperating agent. And you're the one that continues to follow up that
yeah.
buyer.
That's right. Because yeah.
it was flipped around 3 years
oh, yeah.
ago.
They ignore your call.
I remember like the bidding. You saw the bidding date 7 days. They're calling you on the first day, and every day or every few days, it's like you kind of try to build
yeah.
that relationship.
Of course, right? Of course, yeah.
Now it's, hey, you know, listing agents, you got to do more work. It's not like 3 years ago where it's like really no work. It's yeah. like almost like you put it up, it's a like guaranteed yeah. commission check.
Yeah, yeah. But that's the thing. I think a lot of people got lost in that.
Oh,
a lot of people got lost
in
that.
They don't
know
how to shift
yeah.
along with the market.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
It's like those times are obviously behind us, but yeah. it's just funny how quickly that can shift, how that can change,
oh,
right?
Yeah.
I mean, you know, like you said, you went from an extreme seller's market to maybe an extreme buyer's market in some areas.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, people are just really hoping and praying for offers on some properties. They're just not moving, right?
Yeah.
And it's like, what do you do, right? I mean, I think we both know, obviously, that for the right price, everything will sell, sure.
Yeah.
But it's like no one wants to give their house away either, right?
Yeah.
So there's a fine line between that.
Yeah, a lot of manager expectations.
Totally, for sure. Yeah.
So when it comes to the future of real estate, I want to ask you, because you definitely leverage a lot
right.
with the internet and social media and digital marketing. So you're probably familiar what's happening in the tech world and
sure.
AI. Do
yep.
you use AI?
Yeah, yeah, of course,
often?
Yeah.
So I use AI a lot.
Right, right.
And man, it's super smart.
Yeah.
It's crazy.
Scary smart. Yeah, yeah.
Like after I prompt, at the end, it really kind of like says like, here should be your next prompt kind of sense. Or kind of like.
Okay, I see.
Or
the like suggestion.
Suggestion.
Yeah.
Or
yeah.
they already know that was the next thing I was about to ask.
Right.
That's how well it knows me.
Yeah.
Or I didn't even think about that and they already put it out.
So it's learning. Yeah.
Yeah. It's learning.
Yeah.
I forgot it was Elon Musk or there's some guy that said that eventually everyone's going to have their own AI, their own GPT.
Right.
Yeah, kind of like their own assistant.
Yeah.
And
wizard it'll
follow
or something
you everywhere.
Called. Yeah.
Right? From your iPhone to downstairs iPad or even like kind of like security camera or TV mm-hmm. screen or even your wearables, right?
They I could see that. Yeah.
You go to your car, the car play.
Right.
And you go to office and then
it's
everywhere.
Yeah.
So it's going to know you.
Yeah.
So where do you see AI is going to impact the real estate industry?
As far as like our jobs?
Both. For how that can enhance and empower agents in mm-hmm. their business. And where do you see the public when it comes to the consumer?
I think that the public specifically are continuing to get more savvy.
Mm-hmm.
I think we see that especially with our younger generation buyers, at least for me, that's what I'm noticing. Like they're really doing their due diligence. They're doing their homework. You know, when I'm speaking to comps or things like that, some of them know it because you're like, I've zoomed in on my house Sigma. I've noticed that these three houses sold. And I'm like, kudos to you, right? Because that's my job, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I'm going in there telling them, hey, this is what's going on in this area. But a lot of them know, right?
Yeah. And I think we can be honest about this, at least I am.
Yeah.
Many clients, a lot of times, they get that information, either maybe that house sold first or maybe that sold comp or that house came on the market
yeah.
before me.
Because they're getting the notification,
right?
Notification
from
yes,
the house.
Right. It is fast.
It's fast.
It is fast.
Yeah.
It is fast. I'd be lying if I said I didn't see that.
Yeah, no, we've all
yeah.
been there, especially agents, because we have like multiple clients and we're servicing
mm-hmm.
multiple areas. And
mm-hmm.
so these guys are just following that area like a
yeah.
hawk, right?
Yeah, right,
the
right,
notifications.
Right. That's right. Yeah. So I think buyers and sellers will likely continue to get more savvy. Do I think AI is in a position where I think real estate agents would be eliminated entirely? I don't see it. I think that
it's
a lot
not
of
about entirely, but what do you think, Brandon, about how it will probably change up the real estate landscape? Yeah. Maybe
right.
reduce commission, maybe reduce our services not as much. Maybe we don't need the buyer agent as much anymore. Like what's your thoughts on that? Where are we leading into?
I don't see that. I mean, sure, to a certain degree, I think sure that those things can take place. But I think having a real person, human being that's looking out for your best interest, I think will always give humans, you know, a sense of security, at least for myself when I think about that. And I think that, you know, people, especially in real estate, I think that the information's good to have, but you know as well as I that, like, when you, for example, if you go on the House Sigma estimates, you know, that alone, that feature is very bad,
very bad.
Right?
Yeah.
But there
it's
are people out there that are relying on that very heavily, Agents as well. Like I've seen agents.
Intelligence. It'll get better.
I think it will, but yeah. It's like, for example, like, you know, they, and I have a video recorded of this actually as well, but basically when you compare houses on there, it's like, I've seen two houses on the same street for sale, and it say that the estimate for one versus the other is dramatically different, and both of them are incorrect, right? Mm-hmm. They don't take into consideration, you know, renovations in the property, you know, backs onto green space, corner lot, doesn't have a sidewalk.
Facing a T-zone.
Yeah, like all of these things, right?
It's just based on some kind of algorithm from correct. The comps.
Correct.
Yeah.
So I don't know. I mean, maybe in the future, if that gets continues to get better, AI, maybe that'll be a little bit different.
Because AI will be able to scan all those things, right?
Right.
Like Google Maps, is it backing on a train tracks? Is it facing a T-zone and all that?
Well, if that were to happen.
It's LLMs, it's large learning models.
Right, right,
who's the one that's feeding the information? Us, agents.
Right, right, right.
And also clients.
Right, consumers. Right, right.
So, it just learns.
So I think maybe if anything, maybe the buyer agents would be, I don't know, maybe a little bit more susceptible to change in that regard. But for selling, I think presentation is still key. I think marketing 100%. Is key. Negotiating is important. So on that aspect, I don't know if we'd see a crazy change. What do you think?
100%. For me, I definitely think that it will replace or completely disrupt the buying side. In a big way.
Like in what way?
I think eventually it will definitely replace the buying agent.
Right.
But when, I don't know. It could be 2 years, could be 3 years, could be 5-10 years.
Mm-hmm.
But it'll definitely take a big chunk market share from the buyer side very, very quick, I think.
Right, right, right.
Because like you said, now that the buyers have, they're armed with the data, mm-hmm. and a lot of times even as just as good as us, the agents, or even better.
Right.
So really it's that face-to-face element that, okay, then the agent, what's left? Showings. Okay, fine, showings. So I was just talking about this in my recent episode, but I'll say it again. Like, I think, because I'm in that startup world too, because my sister exposed me to Silicon Valley, and I see these startups that's arising right now. Then they're the real estate industry. They're disrupt the real estate industry.
Yeah, it's
that
focused. Last
old age industry that hasn't been disrupted yet. Taxes has been disrupted, right? Airbnb.
Global legal.
Legals, even my lawyer came down and said, I'm using AI to scan the contract. So
it's funny. Most recently, I had a deal where, I had a client. We recently bought a condo property.
Yeah.
And we got the status certificate documents. And he goes, I'm going to do a test.
Yeah.
We're going to send this to the lawyer for their review. And then I'm going to upload this in AI. And I'm going to look at their notes. And we're going to compare the two. So they were pretty comparable. But if I'm being honest, the AI one was way more detailed.
Yes.
Way more detailed. And he read both, and I read both, right? Yeah. And it's just scary to think about that, right?
And that's why it's going fast, man.
Yeah, it is. I agree.
Like every month, there's something very, like, that's just like your jaw drops. Like, what?
Like a big advancement,
right? Yeah. And my lawyer really said that, it's very good. Especially like the repetitive stuff, like a status certificate. To scan the review status certificate.
Right.
It's like, it's very, like, it's, like, he's like, I don't even do it anymore. My AI does it.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow. Okay. Okay.
Right. And then obviously the more advanced legal stuff.
Right.
Then probably we still need the lawyer.
Of course.
But the very repetitive stuff, like a real estate transaction where it's always the same thing.
So then do you see that for like the ability for agents in the future to kind of say like, hey, this is the, you know, pertinent details we want to have in this offer, draw up this contract or this agreement.
They have that already. So they have that ready, Brandon.
Wow.
Like if I submit an offer to you, the AI will scan the whole offer and just throw you a text or throw you a notification summary. Here's the main points, right? Here is the key points you need to know, Brandon, from this offer, right?
Price, clauses, deposit, clauses, it's the same
thing, really.
Right.
If there's other things that it's out of the blue, they're probably like, this is not normal, but this is something you should know.
Inclusions, exclusions, stuff like
same
that.
Same thing zoning, with also drafting up an offer.
Right.
Now there's many AI companies that's assisting real estate agents that you're probably doing a showing, and typically you have to wait until you go back to the office or bust out the laptop in the car to draft up an offer.
Yeah.
You probably can just tell your phone, kind of like Siri or AI, whatever you call it, AI. AI, draft them an offer, $500K, 123 Main Street.
Right.
Here's the conditions, the usual, boom, 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 for my client, John Smith. Offer.
Right.
You know, all the other supporting docs, offer summary, everything draft up in a minute.
So are you saying that part exists?
Yeah.
Wow. Okay. Interesting. So I never heard of that.
I'm here to expose this and send the alarm bells to agents. You guys really need to get on this. go Google it, do your research, AI, what's the most recent AI tech for real estate?
That's the best place.
I think your mind will be blown.
Yeah, I bet.
I think a lot of you guys are still living in under a rock, or just mm-hmm. you guys are too busy or whatever it is.
Mm-hmm.
Right? It's the same thing like 12 years ago when all the agents like, oh, who's using social media? Like, how is that going to like, how's that going to help real estate? Right? I remember back then, everyone's making fun of the agents that's doing these videos. It's like, mm-hmm. why don't you go out and door knock and do sales? Right? Instead of, really, now we know social media is a great way to build your brand.
Totally.
Great way for lead gen.
Yeah.
So it's, but AI is something that's like totally out of the world.
Yeah.
Not just the real estate industry, just all industries actually.
Right.
I'm sure that's the biggest talk in town right now in every news. Like, people are getting laid off. Microsoft just laid off like, I think 30,000 people or 9,000. I can't remember the number. It was a lot. So yeah, going back to what I think about how it's going to disrupt the buying agent, because the buyers are so armed with all the data and because they trust AI so well now, right? I trust AI a lot.
Right.
I know some people that go to AI for relationship advice.
Oh my gosh.
I
never heard that one.
Oh yeah. And so they probably, what it comes down to is there's going to be these real estate tech brokerages. It's actually coming out already. And it's going to get so, so many people is going to use it. Whereas think about this, the seller, when they have a listing appointment, typically they interview a few agents, right?
Correct.
Yeah, like a maybe, you know, a good friend as an agent that sells less. And then you have the area specialist for sure they're going to interview. Yep. And then the third guy will probably be the tech brokerage. And what's going to happen is the experience, the guy that dominates that area is probably going to say like, yeah, you know, I know all the data and experience. I have all the network. And plus, this is what I'm going to do for you. I have a really good marketing video. This is my marketing campaign. And oh, staging. I'm going to hire my stager to do that.
Of course, yeah.
And then other logistics, cleaners, movers, whatever, we'll do that too.
Yeah.
This tech brokerage, this real estate tech brokerage, is probably going to be a guy that's under salary base, not commission. And all he does is go around listing appointments, probably 3-4 a day, and the same old pitch on the iPad and say that, oh, you've been using our AI. So you know our AI, how powerful it is.
Mm-hmm.
So this is what the algorithm, the AI says, that this is what the price range is, right? Which is going to be scary accurate, I'm pretty sure, by that time. Mm-hmm. It's probably the same as what the other agent's probably quoting.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, fine. So price down. Now it just comes down to commission and the logistics.
Right.
How do you do the same? So these tech brokerages probably going to be like, well, whatever the other agents are interviewing, we do the exact same or even better. I can do a marketing video like that. And it's probably everything is in-house in that tech brokerage.
Right.
I have an in-house media guy. I have an in-house stager. I have an in-house... And if you say, like, you're not, they probably ask, you're not an agent, how can you show? Oh, we got showing specialists. Everyone's on salary.
Mm-hmm.
And by the way, that agent that specializes in the area, they're quoting you 5%, 4.5%, whatever. We do it for half because we don't need to buy agent anymore.
Oh, I see.
We don't need to buy agent anymore. Like, even now, you probably see that people are coming to open house recently, right? They had that self-represent.
Right.
Self-representation.
Right. Yep.
Yeah. So SRP, they even have that available now. And slowly more and more buyers know about that.
Mm-hmm.
Then really they're thinking, yeah, when I'm buying a house, I want someone to show me. Right. But now I feel like the days of two ends, seller represents seller, buyer, agent represents buyer, might be gone. Because obviously, guys, I don't want this to happen, but I just like, you got to understand, you got to really, really see, envision the future, especially us. We don't react when the market, we want to be proactive, right? And that might happen. I don't know when. It might be sooner than you think, though, because do we really need two ends anymore if there's one company or one organization or different, how the marketplace could be very different now, right? So that's how I see it is where.
You know what? I understand where you're coming from, but I think when I think about the way that the current transaction landscape takes place.
Yeah.
I think people also forget. I mean, I think a lot of people get hung up in commission. Granted, it's a lot of money on a sale of a home.
Mm-hmm.
I think that there's a lot of other things that happen from the date that you sign that listing agreement to the day that it sells, all the way to the day it closes.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes even after closing,
yeah,
you know, post-close, right? And I think that there's a lot of hiccups potentially that could happen that maybe the AI that we know today may not be prepared to take on, right? And I think
agree.
That's where people like you and I, respective in our industries, are able to deal with those things because we're well equipped, you know? I tell myself, my clients all the time, I don't know everything, but what I do know is that when something arises, we know who to contact and we have that person available.
Yeah.
you know, lawyers, contract, whatever that looks like. You know what I mean? And I think that the AI portion of it, I think removing the buying side at or buying agent out of it kind of opens up that exposure to the risk. Like, okay, well, this person can't close. They're dealing with these issues. What happens then? And it's like, you're going to call this person whose salary may not be available because you know how it is, commission versus salary based. Mm-hmm. It's, you know, after 5 o'clock, well, my phone's off. They're not answering, right?
That's why I think it has to be a point where the AI has to be super good and super smart.
Right.
Because now that the buyer won't go to an agent for all those anymore. They'll go to their AI to ask about everything.
Right.
That's what I mean. Like the AI actually is the one that's kind of facilitating a deal from A to Z. But the only thing that AI cannot do is the face-to-face person stuff.
Right.
Where that's why it's going to be tech brokerages that's armed with the best AI.
Right.
Like every industry is going to have their own AI. I think that's what's going to happen.
Right.
Maybe ChatGPT will dominate everything. Mm-hmm. Or that's why every company is...
You probably get a couple of players in the space, I imagine. Yeah, for sure.
That's why every company is trying to
get ahead of it now. Because
every company need an AI for something.
Right.
So whoever has the best real estate AI, let's see. Right. That might be the one that...
That's crazy to think about. Oh my gosh.
Yeah, I know. But I think that's where actually the future is going to. And I'd love to have more conversations about this because it's fascinating to me.
It is, yeah. Totally.
It is really fascinating. And I use AI. I'm a big advocate
of
AI.
Are you? Yeah.
I'm huge. And it's just so powerful.
It is.
It is so powerful.
I do use it. I don't think I use it as much as I could, but I'm definitely getting around the learning of it, you know?
Yeah. It's not just for creating listing descriptions. Mm-hmm. It's not
Just
creating, you know, content campaigns. There's so much more. Mm-hmm. Even how to kind of like improve your backend organization, time management, marketing. There's so much.
Yeah.
So when it comes to your self-growth, and your own personal time. Because we all know real estate, Brendan, it's crazy.
Oh my gosh, yeah. Right? That's all you do, right?
Yeah. So like, how do you balance personal time? I don't know if you're married or have a girlfriend. Like,
yeah, I think like, honestly.
How do you do all that with
personal time right now or as of late has been really low, if I'm being honest with you. I feel like I'm, by nature, I'm kind of a workaholic, you know? And I think in real estate, most of us are, you know, granted, I do love what I do. Sure. But, I think for me, I just try to carve out the time in the morning to kind of have brain into like, you know, you're kind of to take care of yourself, you know, go to the gym, read a book, do whatever you got to do to get your mindset right. So I kind of try to do that. I'll be honest, most days and weekends, you know, we are in the field, whether that's open houses, showings, you know, things of that nature. But, you know, sometimes you got to turn it off. Right. So it's kind of hard to sometimes, but I would say that, yeah.
So what's your tool for a kind of time management organization? Would it be, you know, calendar, Google Calendar? Do you have some kind of time management app or
so
journal?
Like
what is it?
Yeah, so my assistant kills me because I have obviously a digital calendar that I'm the worst at using. Like I don't really use it that much. She'll put things in there, but like I don't really go by that. I'm so old school and I write everything down.
Yeah.
I've been doing this forever. Like I have a journal and I write down every single thing I need to do that day, every appointment, every person I need to speak to in conjunction with other things, of course, your my Google Calendar, you know, follow up bosses, CRM, that kind of thing. But that journal comes with me everywhere. It's with me right now. It's in my car, right? So I look at that religiously and without that, it just helps me stay on track. And there's something satisfying about like checking a box off after you've done something and like moving on to the next thing, right? So without that, I think I'd be kind of lost, but usually I track my time and like what I'm doing based on that. And I look at it every night, every morning, you know, during the day, that kind of thing.
Do you journaling, like do you do that, like reflections?
Usually in the morning.
Usually in
the morning, you know.
Gratitude and all that.
Gratitude first, that's right. Yeah, amazing. I think that's very important. Yeah.
So Brendan, we should end off our pod with asking our guests like, what is your favorite book, business book, self-development book that kind of really, that give you a really golden nugget for your business?
So the first business book I actually read was, I know you probably heard this 100 times, Rich Dad Poor Dad, but the first like real estate agent book I would say that I read was Ryan Serhant's book.
Yeah, Sell It Like Serhant.
Yeah, he has a couple, but I think, was it that one or was it Big Money Energy? No, I read that one too, but I think it was Sell It Like
one.
I think it would have been Sell It Like Serhant.
Yeah.
And I think one of the biggest takeaways for me from that one was just, you know, how he described his start in the business, you know, being able to kind of see the progression. Obviously, he's uber successful now, but just keeping yourself so busy that if something else fails, that you're not overly concerned, you know, kind of more like an abundance mindset. Yeah. So that was one thing I kind of learned from that one.
But he said about throwing balls up in the air. I always remember that one. Yeah. Book. He's like, just when it comes to real estate.
Yeah, juggling. He said something.
Just keep on throwing balls up in the air.
That's right.
And if one falls down, you always have another ball to pick up. So correct. That's why, yeah. Just continue hustling, continue keeping busy, continue following up, continue finding ways to do deals. 100%. Just continue throwing balls up in the air.
That's right. What about you? You got a favorite one?
For both?
Or one that stands out? Yeah.
One that stands out is a storied brand.
Okay.
Yeah. So that's a good branding book.
Is it? Okay.
Yeah.
Who's that by?
Donald Miller.
Okay.
Donald Miller. Check it out. It's a really good book because it will make you think about branding in a very different way.
Okay.
Yeah. Something about one quick thing I can share about that book is like, basically, why is it, say a story brand? Because all good marketing, all good branding, it's like a story.
Right? True.
Yeah, it's like a story. And it's the same thing. If all the good movies that you watch, why the movie is so captivating is kind of like, for example, Batman. Batman, you know, was a kid, lost his parents to the bad guys, right? Gotham City.
Yeah, of course.
Justice, like what happened. And so Batman in the beginning was like, you know, searching. He was weak. He's like, what, like, okay, how do I, you know, like, fight justice if I'm weak and all that, right? So he's the protagonist. He's the main character.
Yeah.
So what he did was, remember Batman, the most recent one? The first one of the most recent series. Oh, not the Robert Pattinson one, but the good one, the good series. But anyways, the first one, he went up to Tibet to find the answer and find someone to train him, right? And he found a guide, basically. Guy to train him up and taught him the way.
That's right, yeah.
Yeah, I forgot the name. But anyways, Batman is kind of like how you should treat client and you, the marketing.
Right.
You're not the hero.
That's right,
You're the guide.
That's right. You're just bringing them through.
You're bringing them through. So that's the same way how you should be branding and how you should be in really do any kind of content piece on marketing is tell a story.
Yeah.
And tell a story that you're the guide. You got to put your client first.
Yeah.
And put the people first.
Yeah.
And you put your customer first and share their story and you're the guide.
You're just bringing them through. Yep,
yeah. Yeah. So that's one really cool key piece in the story brand in that book, which I love.
Yeah. Awesome. Yeah. Well, sounds like a good one.
All right, man.
Yeah.
Really appreciate you coming here.
Absolutely. Thanks for having me.
For an audience that wants to find Brandon Singh, what's the best way to find
him? Yeah. So I'm pretty much just Brandon Singh Real Estate on everything. Okay. Pretty simple. Pretty straightforward. All the platforms. That's right.
Boom.